And we're back to the Bible again, to John chapter 6, and we're going to read the first 14 verses. And I know this is a wonderful portion of God's Word, and I trust that it will be a great strength to our hearts today. John chapter 6, verse 1 is our opening verse. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he knew that what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. Thank you for joining with us here on Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. Always a joy to bring the message of the gospel to you wherever you may be. That's my delight, to sit behind this microphone, to read the Word of God, to expound the Scriptures, and to call you to personal saving faith in the Lord Jesus. So let me ask you right out, are you a Christian? Are you saved? Now, I'm not asking you, are you a sermon taster? Are you a church traditionalist? I'm asking, are you in heart born again, saved, redeemed by the blood of Jesus, and totally dedicated to the Lordship of Jesus Christ in your life? That is the great need. And of course, to be a Christian, you need to be all of these: surrendered, coming to the cross for salvation, cleansing in the blood of Jesus, and to live a new life in the power of the risen Christ living in you. I read it well put this week that Christ for us, that's our salvation. Christ in us, that's our sanctification. Christ for us on the cross, there he was dying in our place. Christ in us, in newness of life, that's regeneration, the new birth experience. And I want you to have that. It is my burden that you, each and every single listener, will truly be saved, redeemed, right with God. We're living in fearful times. We're living in times when people truly need to prepare to seek the Lord and prepare for heaven. Will you today turn to the Lord If I can be of personal help, well, all the details are coming up at the end of the program. But right now we're turning to John 6:63 on the one who giveth life.
Might say, I'm not going to preach on the feeding of the 5,000 and the miracle of what the Lord did with those 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Although the doctrine that we're going to look at today really has its greater context in that wonderful, wonderful miracle. Can you remember the first time that you ever heard that account of Jesus feeding 5,000? On that mountainside with a little boy's lunch? Can you remember the impression that it made upon you? If anything, it must have elevated your understanding of who Jesus is, who out of his own hands could break that bread and recreate, break and recreate and feed those rolls and rolls of 5,000 plus others. What a staggering miracle. And so the impression upon that crowd was phenomenal. Because this was not just theory. This was not just doctrine. This was not just bringing into the New Testament the light of the old. They ate the food. They ate the bread. They ate the fish. And they were there with large tummies enjoying it all, till they could eat no more. Nobody could doubt the amazing miracle. And then the 12 baskets, well, that's just the way the Lord does things. Everything gets tidied up, and there just happened to be a full basket by each of the disciples that were distributing and regathering. But my text today is in verse 63. It says, it is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Here we have the doctrine of regeneration. Here you have the word quickeneth, which simply means to give life to the dead, to bring life out of the grave, to give heavenly life to a dead soul. Now I want to ask you, which of the two following examples is proper for regeneration? The school principal walking the schoolyard and saying to the boys and girls, now remember the rules and remember the good name of your school. Or the preacher going into the graveyard and preaching to the dead, calling them to walk in the newness of life. Which of those two examples would you say best describes the miracle of regeneration? Well, the answer to that will determine whether you are a liberal or whether you are orthodox in your doctrine. If you think that man can change his life by his own power, by merely following the rules of men, it ain't gonna happen. But if you believe that Jesus Christ came into the world, the bread of heaven, to give life and satisfaction, grace, joy, and fullness of life, there is the gospel at work. One is the semi-Pelagian view that there is at least some little bit of good in the heart of man. The other, the preacher in the graveyard preaching to the dead, is the view that there is just nothing left. Man is bankrupt spiritually and is dead in his sins. And Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 will back that up, for it says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. Now, the Holy Spirit, we are told here, is the life giver. Quickening is the work of life-giving. Regeneration is like planting seed in the soil. And we might boast about the richness of the soil, of how we dug it, how we tilled it, how we fertilize it, how we watered it. But if the seed has no germinating life, you're not going to have any crop whatsoever. And likewise, there needs to be this new life planted in the heart of man. Now, this work of regeneration, of course, is attributed to the third person of the Trinity. It is the Spirit that giveth life, the Lord Jesus said. And it is the necessary part of our redemption. Because God the Father could plan our redemption. God the Son could go all the way to the cross and purchase our redemption. But if we are left dead in soul, in love with sin, with no interest in the cross, all of it bypasses us, and we are no whit better. We need a miracle to open our eyes, to give us life, to look unto Jesus, and to plead the victory of Calvary in our own lives. Now, we do not pretend to understand the miracle of regeneration, because it is a miracle. Just as we don't understand how when you plant wheat in the soil, that corn of wheat dies and brings forth a new crop. That is the power of resurrection life. Now, we can say that once we loved sin, but now we love our God. That once we were in love with the world, but now we delight in those things concerning the kingdom and concerning the grace of the Lord Jesus. And the best proof of regeneration is a living convert, one who was once dead to God, living for the world, but now the opposite, a new creature. The old things have passed away and all things have become new. Now, how fascinating this is. This turns the Christian life from a mere set of rules and the humdrum of principles, do this, do that, legalism and all the other, into the life-giving work of the living Lord Jesus, because He is alive. He rose from the dead. And if He is risen, He is able to cause that spiritual resurrection within hearts to bring men out of the love of sin into a new life in Christ Jesus. Now, this is also the hope of Canada. As we all lament the slide and downgrade into the vilest of sins in this country that are not just committed, but they are paraded, that they are not only tolerated, but they are promoted in every quarter. We wonder, is there any hope for this nation? Well, here is hope. Because the God who elects sinners to eternal life, sent His Son to the cross, will not leave it up to individuals. They shall be called, regenerated, brought to faith in the Lord Jesus. Now, in the time we have today, I want us to look at this whole miracle, this operation of the Spirit in regeneration. And I want us to look at the regeneration of the Spirit works independently. And you know, that really is the hope of it all. Because if it was left up to you and me, where would we be today? If we even had to cooperate in this, if we had to do our part in this, where would we be? But the Holy Spirit works independently. I quoted Ephesians 2:1, it is the Spirit that giveth life. Ye that were dead in trespasses and in sins, He quickeneth. But there is a passage in Ezekiel 37. It's the vision of the Valley of Dry Bones. And it's really an army that has fallen, and their corpses have rotted. Their sun-burnt skeletons are lying in the wilderness. And suddenly, by the breath of God, this army comes alive. That's a strange picture. But it is a great illustration of the miracle of regeneration. And if you read that in Ezekiel 37, verse 5, and we're told, "So I commanded as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, and there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army." That is the vision of the Valley of Dry Bones. That by the breath of the Spirit were made to live. Now, this is where we draw the difference between the Spirit quickening and what we call the new birth. The baby has to have life before it is born. We all understand that the gestation period from conception to birth is 9 months. And so while we speak of the baby being born, and we often liken that to being born again, we realize that that baby had life at conception. And so regeneration is like the conception of the child in the womb. When that new life comes together and begins to develop as an embryo in the womb, and then one day it is born. And we speak of being born again, but there is the miracle of life that is planted within the soul. Now, the Spirit works independent of any desire in us. Look at John 6:44. Just take a look at that little verse there, John 6:44. "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up. No man will and no man can, because he's dead. Dead in sin. There's total inability. No one ever requested to be resurrected or regenerated. And it's not the case that any number of people are going around wishing that they could be born again. Have you ever met someone like that? Did you meet someone like that this week who came to you, "I wish I was born again. I wish I was regenerated. I wish I had a miracle of new life in me." No, it's the opposite. People run from it. People despise it. People call it foolishness and odd and weird. And if you tell someone that you have been born again, they will think that odd. And so this miracle is the independent work of the Spirit. That which is of the flesh profiteth nothing. And so here is a miracle that is the work of the Spirit independent of our doing. In John 3:8, it talks about the wind blowing. We cannot tell whence it cometh nor whither it goeth. It is the secretive, it is the sovereign moving of the Spirit of God. So would you take a moment right now as a Christian and say, "Lord, I just want to thank you that while I was a corpse dead in sin and iniquity, while I was living for this world, that you independently by the Holy Spirit came and regenerated my heart. And I know that I have been born of God. If you've been born of God, you can't not know it. And you can't but show it. There is a newness, a resurrection life within your heart. Now, regeneration, the Spirit also works instantaneously. In an instant, just like that. It's not a process. You're either living or you're dead. When Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, and that sin meant him to be driven out, he was either in or out. And he as a fugitive was out and away from God. When you are born again and you are regenerated, you are either outside of God or you are in the new life that is in Christ Jesus. And so it's called a new creation. All things pass away, all things become new. Now, creation work is the work of an instant. When the Lord created the world, he simply said, "Let there be light," and there was light. I know it took 6 days for God to create the world, but each part of it, just by his word, came into being. It was an instantaneous miracle of his power. And when God, by his Spirit, desires and designs, and he effects that effectual call of the gospel, you are born in an instant. Let there be light. And that light of the gospel shines into the heart of the sinner's soul. And there would be no coming forth to show new life if that new life was not planted there first. So again, take a moment and just say, "Thank you, Lord, that in a certain hour, a certain moment, indeed there was an instant of time when by your word you spoke and I was born of God." That's the instantaneous nature of the miracle. Now, it is called a resurrection of the soul. Let's go back to John 5, verse 21. We looked at this a little last week. "For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will." Now, when you see the word quickeneth, think resurrection, think regeneration, think the birth of new life, born again, and that new life enters in. And so regeneration is an act. It is an act of God. And it is an instantaneous work. And so a sinner can be on the road to hell one day, and he can be saved and on the way to heaven the same day. Praise God for a gospel like this. There is not another religion in the world that proclaims the message of instantaneous, miraculous, new birth, regeneration. This is the gospel. This is what Christ came into the world to effect. And I believe it because Jesus himself is alive. If there was no empty tomb, no miracle of the resurrection, no ascension, how could I preach a doctrine like this? If my Savior was still in the gloom of the tomb, how could I preach the hope of regeneration to sinners? But here is the living Christ at work to send his Spirit to turn men to himself. I have to ask you, is it possible that you are on the road to hell today? That's a serious question, but it needs to be answered honestly. Praise God, you can be lifted from the path to hell to be taken into the path to heaven. The Lord Jesus is an almighty Savior, and through the power of his death, through the victory of his cross work, where he offered up an atonement to satisfy the wrath of God, he turns away all God's wrath from the believer that calls on him. But if you are not saved, then all the wrath of God is coming down upon your head, and you are condemned. Now, Romans 8 verse 1 says that there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. If you are in, sheltering in, believing upon the Lord Jesus, then you're saved. There's no wrath that will touch you. You are redeemed by the power of Jesus' precious blood. And that blood cancels the accusations of sin, it silences the law, and it gives you perfect standing before God. And I plead with you to trust in the blood of the Lord Jesus today. Will you pray and ask the Lord to save you? Let me pray. Father, I call upon thee today to use this wonderful view we've had of Jesus, the Son of God, in his almighty power. O Lord, may you by your Spirit bring each one to believe and rest in the Lord Jesus, taking full shelter in the saving power of the Lord Jesus. And I cry to thee to hear today and bless, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now again, allow me to call you to faith in the Lord Jesus. This is a very important matter. If I was to stand at your grave today, could I say that you are saved? Do you have a testimony that you have personally believed on the Lord Jesus to call on him to save your soul? If you have that confidence, then may the Lord bless you. If you have never called on the Lord Jesus, then I invite you to believe and be saved. You have been listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. I hope that I can be of personal help to you if you have prayer requests, prayer needs, and of course, if you can read the Bible, go to the Bible. That's the key need as you would seek God's salvation. And I would recommend John's Gospel. Read John's Gospel. Pray the Lord will open your mind and heart to understand the way of salvation. In these times of fear and almost panic in our land, this is the true place to find peace. We are called to prepare to meet our God, but we need to know the Savior, and you need to call upon him to save you from your sins. I also want to invite you to join with us each day at this time for these programs on your local station. I also want to invite you on Sundays to listen in to our webcast from our Free Presbyterian Church. These are online services by webcast. Now go to our website at 10:30 Sunday mornings, 6 p.m. Sunday evenings, Pacific time, here in Greater Vancouver, and go to cloverdalefpc.ca. And at 10:30 and 6 p.m. local time here in Vancouver, you can join us for our online services. Now, my cell number is 604-897-2040. And I look forward to hearing from you. Give me a call, send me an email. Let me know you're tuning in. May God bless you through his word.